Hey, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, happy free agency week. Oh boy. The Blue Kool-Aid drinkers this week talk about yesterday's massive, massive haul, a historic day for the Lions. I mean, we haven't had this kind of free agency in a long time. And they say free agency wins Super Bowls. Well, maybe not quite. But nonetheless, the Lions having a big day, and we'll dive into that and the impact on the draft that we'll have as well. So a lot of instant reaction. This is one of our more peppier episodes for sure. A lot of good news flowing around. Big things happening in the NFL, especially with our boys in the Honolulu Blue. So if you like what you listen to, please listen, subscribe, leave a review. We greatly appreciate it. And now, time for the podcast. This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, a Detroit Lions podcast, where lifelong Lions fans,
UJ,
Rud Dog,
Bob,
Connor,
and I'm your host, Big Z, to talk about your favorite team, the Detroit Lions, where victory isn't just talked about, it's earned. One pride, let's get this podcast rolling. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, it's March 11th, and we'll hopefully be remembering this day for a while. We're joined by the rest of the crew, Rod Dog, Bob, UJ. Big day for the Lions, huh?
Yeah, baby.
So just to give a brief recap, first of all, since the last time we talked, the Lions released TJ Lang. Glover Quinn, obviously, he was released a while ago. Nevin Lawson, and then Trevor Bates was also cut today. But now for the fun part, the signings. We woke up this morning, and Danny Amendola was signed almost immediately to a one-year, $4.5 million contract. Then we found out
– no surprise.
Yeah, then we found out maybe a little-known Justin Coleman, a defensive back from the Seattle Seahawks, who once played for the Patriots. You'll notice a common theme here.
Yeah.
Also playing for the Patriots at one point. Justin Coleman, the highest-paid nickelback. That's his title now. 4 years, $36 million. Then the really big one came in around noon. Trey Flowers, 5 years, $80 to $85 million.
Trey?
Yes.
Trey? Yeah, baby.
And then the last one was Jesse James, who I'm super pumped about. The contract details are undisclosed right now, but that one really got me just jumping up and down. So,
Z, just so you know, it's not the porn star Jesse James. Okay, when you don't get too excited,
it's the outlaw.
All right.
So I want to take these one by one.
Okay.
I want to take these one by one here, and first we're gonna really touch on the big one, the big news of the day, the number one overall free agent. Considering everybody else that got franchised and things of that nature, Trey Flowers, the Lions grabbing him nice and early right away.
Yes,
it's the reaction. I'm just thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled by this.
Oh, I'm beyond thrilled. This is the guy we wanted. We've been talking about for a while, and they actually went out and freaking got him. They paid the money. He's a young guy. We got him for a few years. Man, he's going to be fantastic. He's going to improve our defense immediately.
Yeah, he's 25 years old right now.
And plus, he fits the scheme, everything. I mean, you couldn't ask for more right now.
Yeah, that's
the
thing.
It's so funny.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's to say it's funny because, you know, this whole time, he was like the most earliest identified prospect. And then we go through this whole process to the point where I almost completely just ruled him out myself as a possibility. He was the only edge on the free agent market and all this stuff. I didn't think we were going to make the move. And then, wow. Yeah. I didn't think it would be in the talking period we'd have it settled.
Snapped him up right away. Yeah, and this is, like you said, this is a guy Patrice is very familiar with. So he's going to fit the scheme, and he's young, and he's in his prime, and we got him.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm very happy with it.
And I love the contract isn't that bad. It's $16 to $17 million a year. That we just paid Ziggy Ansah $17 million for last year, and we got nothing out of him, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'd even like to see now? I just want to throw this in there real quick. I'm sorry, but I'd like to see him sign Ansah now for a lower contract, for, you know, incentive-laden contract. I don't know.
If they could get him, make him an offer.
If they can. I mean, I don't know if they seem possible, but
I don't know what his market's going to look like.
I don't either. With his injury history, it's going to be tough.
There's teams out there, though, with a lot of money that even haven't spent, which shocks me more that the Lions are able to get a player like Trey Flowers so quickly, considering teams like the Colts and the Jets with these massive amount of cap space not spending. And Trey Flowers just really must like the defensive system and really like Matt Patricia.
It just shows you. Free agents want to come to Detroit. Free agents want to come here.
Do you think maybe we like him a little bit more than other teams because of the natural kind of fit we saw there? Or do you think other teams were kind of looking at him as highly as we were?
Oh, I absolutely think other teams were looking at him highly.
For sure.
Yeah, I think so. But I think, like you say, though, I think he was a natural fit with the Lions, considering Patricia and Quinn.
Yeah.
What about that? That contract is pretty good. And a guy we didn't get, Landon Collins, signed for a huge sum.
Oh, my God. Redskins. Did you see that?
I was like, man.
Oh, yeah.
6 years, $84 million. Yeah. That's crazy.
That was insane.
I would have hated if we did that. If you're the Giants, you really screwed that up because they did not extend him for the extra year, or they did not franchise him. It would have cost them $11.5 million against the cap, and now he's getting paid more than that. And so they would have a nice trade chip there on their, and they gave him up for nothing.
Do the Giants have anybody left?
I mean, I don't know. If they do have any notable defenders left, the Lions will take them probably.
Yeah.
But just this Trey Flowers signing, it just has a lot of impact, especially do you think it has any impact? Well, maybe we'll get into it later about the impact on the draft. But the big signing, the one I got really excited about was this Jesse James signing. I've been talking about this guy a couple times on the pod here, and I even texted about you to you guys this week. The two tight ends I was looking at us hopefully signing was either Jesse James or maybe Darren Fells, although Darren Fells fell off the wagon recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I had no interest in seeing Fells back in Detroit.
But Jesse James, I love. This guy's 6'7", 260. He's only 24 years old only. We're getting this guy right in his prime. He does have some drop issues. I've seen from time to time when watching him play. But, man, this guy is a tank. He's been part of the dominant offensive line that's led the league in rushing the last 3 years.
I just want to see him stiff arm cornerbacks like little rag dolls on the sidelines as he's running. I saw him do that for Pittsburgh back last year. I was like, oh, my God, I would love to see that guy be a Lion.
Yeah,
and
what it is. What did he have, like 30 grabs last year? And that was on a team that had a lot of receiving options. So he'll probably get more opportunities with Detroit.
Yeah, I think it's a terrific signing. I really do. I mean, first of all, besides the obvious need, I think they actually got a plus player here. As far as blocking, he's a plus blocker, and I think he is a decent receiver. I mean, he's not going to catch 60 or 100 passes, but he'll be a good weapon for Stafford to use for sure.
Oh yeah, he was involved in one of those Calvin type catches, right? With the controversial.
That was against the Patriots. He tried extending across the goal line, but fumbled as he was extending, and they ruled it a fumble, I believe, instead of a touchdown. Yeah, it was the very last play of the game, and it was very controversial. I thought they got screwed. That was a couple years ago.
Yeah, I'm happy with this signing, though. Obviously, tight end was a need, and this guy looks like he'll be a good fit.
Oh, yeah.
Now if we had Hockenson, then you get Hockenson and him, and now you got two good blocking tight ends that can catch.
we'll get to that.
Yeah, we can touch on that in a few moments. I really, really like this guy. He was definitely the top tight end on the market. So right now, as we are going over this list, we have the top defensive lineman, edge rusher on the market, and we got the top tight end on the market. Now we're going to go get the best nickelback on the market, a serious need as well for the Lions, Justin Coleman, 4 years, $36 million from Seattle. He played his first 2 years on the Patriots. He was more of a rotational guy. Then he really leapt out and became a starter for Seattle the last 2 years, and that's why he got paid so much by the Lions.
Yeah, and he's a Patricia guy. Patricia knows him well. Again, a good fit for the team. These guys are going to be able to walk right in and immediately contribute without, you know, the learning curve a lot of guys might need. I mean, I just these signings, yeah. I think our defense, as good as we played last year, at the end of last year, which I think our defense is becoming one of the better ones in the league, these additions are, wow, they're really going to add to it. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I like the signing. I was surprised when I saw the price, but apparently that's the market. And we had a need there. And I didn't know too much about him. I was Googling him, and I put that in the chat. The first thing that came up with is him intercepting Matthew Stafford on the goal line. I sent that out to you guys.
Yeah.
But now he can't do that to us anymore.
Just to throw a stat out there that really stuck out for Justin Coleman, especially last year. He did not allow a touchdown in coverage as the nearest defender when aligned in the slot in 2018. 74% of his snaps were at the slot.
Well, that's becoming a key position now, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's on the field all the time.
It hurt us.
Especially in a Matt Patricia defense.
Right. Well, you saw how it hurt us last year when we were, you know, we got a bit unreliable there in that position. We struggled a bit. I think this could really help us for sure.
Yeah, and what did we talk about in this podcast last week? After today is calling the Lions the Midwest Patriots or something along those lines, you know?
Right.
And it just they are so very much following the model. It's unbelievable. But the fact that the Lions go out and pay this much to the cornerbacks, Darius Slay, now this Justin Coleman, investing a second round in Tease DeBoer, maybe that didn't pan out, but just, you know, capital. I'm just saying the Lions and the Patriots way is investing in these defensive backs very heavily so they get these man – they're allowed to play man coverages and then do blitzes and stuff up the middle and get really creative. What was that, Red Dog?
Yeah. Nothing. I was going to say, so does that mean we got to draft an anemic quarterback in, like, the sixth round now?
Probably. But, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Z. Your point on the defensive backs, I think, was a good one.
We've just seen it the past few years from the Patriots. But now, I mean, look, the one thing that we are not the Patriots way is the Patriots get away. They win the Super Bowl every year or get to Super Bowl every year. They make these other guys look really good. They let them go. They get signed for big contracts. And they just pick up third-round pick after third-round pick after third-round pick.
They do.
After today, they'll get two more high third round draft picks because of the compensatory picks.
I think the Flowers one though, that's not a guy who's out of gas. You know, like who they got all they could out of him. He's a young guy, and I think he's gonna be a great fit with the Lions. Yeah.
I think that makes a nice bookends with Kennard. Actually, they can really.
You know,
off each other.
I know what you said about the Patriots. You know, and the way they just signed third rounders and they. Somehow make them great. You know, we have to get to a point first where we can start doing that. Like, we have to build this team up into a winner first. And then the way they're doing this now, it looks like Quinn's almost building a rotation. The contracts aren't all on top of each other. They're sort of spread a little bit. So, like, when one comes up, we're going to be afford to get rid of a guy here and there as the next few years go by, you know, and replace him and stuff. Remember how they – when Mayhew, it seemed like all the contracts would come up all at the same time. Well, there seems to be sort of a spread now. You know what I mean? Am I saying that right? Where they're spread out a little bit. They're not all on top of each other. I don't think we're going to have cap hell like we did before, the way Quinn's managing this here.
This is definitely not like before. But in Martin Mayhew's defense, the Lions were under a different CBA when Matt Stafford was paid $70 million as a rookie quarterback. Ndamukong Suh was paid, you know, $50 million. That was an unbelievable time for NFL contracts.
Right. And now we had three superstars in their prime that we were trying to keep.
Yeah.
That was kind of hard to do.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, with Calvin and Stafford. And,
yeah.
So I want to get to the last free agent. That's Julian Edelman. He signed this morning. He's clearly going to be the main slot receiver now for the Detroit Lions.
Danny Amendola. Amendola.
Oh, sorry. What did I say?
Julian Edelman.
Wow, we got Edelman. Holy
yeah, Edelman too.
Wow.
One and the same, right? I always get those two confused. They're virtually the
same. I don't
same
think he's the only one
with less stacks.
I heard somebody saying that on the radio today too. I think it's like a common. It's just a white Patriot receiver. You know,
yeah.
Fill in name.
But well, let me just start off on this one because yesterday I saw you guys and I was like, when I saw he was available, I'm like, I hope they don't get Amendola because I was like. Just because of his age, you know, and I wanted somebody dynamic for that slot position. But then the more I thought about it, now that we actually have him, so now I'm rooting for him.
Yeah,
he is a
you
good.
You drank the Kool-Aid since then.
Yeah, of course I do, and I think he's a good reliable guy to make a catch like 5 yards out, and but he's not going to be breaking him anymore. But what I was thinking is this also shows. Possibly the confidence they have in Brandon Powell to step in later this year. You know, they're going to get,
yeah,
as he develops to be the real slot guy of the future.
Right.
But, this is just a 1 year contract with, and not a huge investment.
No. But
what do you guys think of the signing?
He's going to move the chains. I like it. When you need that big first down, you know, that's what we got him for. He finds a way to get open somehow. I don't know how, but he always seems to be open.
I like him as a one year contract. Like, I mean, if we had signed him to anything beyond that, I would be kind of aggravated. I don't know if they see the future in the current guys, honestly, right there for slot, like what their thoughts on Powell are. I mean, I think he's got some potential, but I don't know if I don't get the sense just the way the end of the year last year that we had the guy they believe can be the slot on the roster right now.
Wait, did you see the Packers game? Powell had his biggest game of the year.
Yeah, he did.
Against the Packers. Yeah, in that last game. He had a huge game.
He's got potential.
He'll still have to earn it in camp this year. There's by no means even on this roster, let alone.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
My thing when I looked at this initially, though, I'm thinking basically you're replacing Golden Tate with somebody. And Golden Tate was a spectacular player who could break tackles and go a long
right.
way. Amendola is not going to be doing that.
But to that end, we do not have your beloved Jim Bob Cooter anymore, a guy that's going to throw screen pass after screen pass out to the outside. We're expecting a lot more power running and a lot more play action out of this offense, I would imagine.
Well, despite the loss of Cooter, I think we'll be okay with these guys.
Oh, Jim Bob.
God rest his soul. He's stuck in New York with the Jets.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace, Jim Bob.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I mean, the Edelman signing, I was like, oh, okay.
We signed Edelman. Like, yeah. Oh, my God. You did?
Yeah.
Oh, you said Edelman again.
Oh, God damn it! God damn it.
We're going to bleep that out.
No, we don't. We're a podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, man. They're killing me. It's killing me. Amendola, as much as you – I know you said it yesterday, like we'll probably sign in. It was almost too obvious, this signing, which is fine.
Yeah.
Which is fine. We saw last year there were some guys clearly in that locker room that didn't fit the culture. And as much as the Amendola signing, as much as a help, like an on-field signing as it is an off-field signing in terms of totally solidifying that culture, especially on the offensive side of the ball, where maybe Matt Patricia doesn't have as much of, influence as he does on the defensive side.
See, I agree. I think a lot of this is about the culture. And that's what Patricia's trying to establish here. And he needs a little help from guys he knows. I mean, it's just the way it is. But I'm sold on it, man. I'm telling you, once this team starts believing, look out, sky's the limit. And Amendola will help in all those respects, including in the locker room. So I think it was a pretty good signing. But it's funny, it was like a collective ho-hum, you know, when they signed him. You know, oh, God, yeah, that's exciting. And then, and then all of a sudden, the day goes violent. They signed who? Trey Flowers? Oh, my God. Jesse James? What? It's the day you went. Got crazy, man. Lions fans just woke out of their long slumber today.
It was what a day. 3-11, 3-11-19. Hopefully, we'll remember that for a while.
Yeah. Somebody said they signed Edelman, but apparently that's not true.
What? What if they accidentally signed Edelman instead of Amendola? You just couldn't tell them apart. I don't know.
So I'll be really interested to see what these contracts turn out to be. If we're looking at all the numbers right now, the Lions came in with about $45 million to spend. And I don't think we're like the Raiders where they literally have no more cash to spend, apparently. I don't know if you saw that report today. The Raiders, they signed Antonio Brown, and they want to get Le'Veon Bell, but they can't get Le'Veon Bell because they literally have no more real cash to spend. They had to take out all these loans and things like that.
Yeah, Trent Brown, the tackle, they signed him for $66 million.
What a perplex. That guy was traded for a six-round pick last year.
Four years. $66 million.
Jeez.
He's a mediocre right tackle literally a year ago, and now he is the highest paid offensive tackle in NFL history.
Crazy.
Wow.
only the Patriots can do something like turn a player on like that.
The Raiders are just like retarded. I'm sorry, but they're just, I don't know what they're doing.
They're a fun team to observe from the outside and not, you know, be a fan of by any means.
Yeah.
They make it entertaining for better, definitely for worse. just fun. It's all around fun over there, especially John Gruden. John Gruden loves his 30-year-old players and up. Yeah. He really hates rookies.
I think Gruden's going to be gone in another year. I'm telling you. This team's going to get worse.
It's funny hearing reports that they're so cash-strapped, and he is making $10 million a year as a head coach, which is easily the highest in the league. I think maybe besides Bill Belichick, because Bill Belichick is a GM and a head coach. But
are you saying they're cash-strapped? Like the organization is literally just doesn't have enough money?
Correct.
Or are you saying – wait, so you're not saying like they're up against the cap. You're saying they're literally –
the former, yes.
Poor. Oh my god! I didn't even know that.
That's why they got to move to Vegas. Well. Nevada's paying them $750 million to move to Vegas.
Yeah.
Back to the Lions. Back to the drinking.
Let's get back to the blue cooler.
I talked about the cap right there because I'm guessing the Lions have, if you take all these numbers that they're true per year average, which is probably not completely true. The Lions have probably $12 million left to spend, and you're going to have to give at least, what, $5, $6, $7 million to the draft class?
Yeah.
So there's only about $5 million of wiggle room. I'm not sure how much – what else we're going to see out the Lions in the free agency after today. That might be, like, some small signings because we still got to get a safety. We still need a corner. And the big one, and kind of how I want to lead into this, is the draft talk is – Bob Quinn, our guy, our boy, our fearless leader, he has drafted an offensive lineman in the first round twice. Is he going to do it again after all these moves today? That's a big question. There's no real offensive lineman that's been valued at eighth overall.
That's the only problem I see here.
Our biggest gaping hole after today is the offensive line on the right guard spot.
I agree. Hey, you know what they could do, though? They might be able to trade down. I mean.
Well, that's the thing. Is there a value there or not? We'll have to see.
There's a couple lines.
Do they just do it no matter what?
We still need linebacker, too. I mean, we lost Christian Jones, right?
No, Christian Jones is still on the roster.
Yeah, he's still. Now.
Devin Taylor. I mean, not Devin,
Devin
Taylor.
White.
Devin White.
Yeah. That's what we need.
No, I was thinking of Juwan Taylor as the offensive tackle that's, like, highly rated.
Right.
Jonah Williams is the number one offensive lineman rated right now on the board. He played tackle at Alabama. But he's known as being pretty versatile. The guy I really like personally is a guy named Cody Ford out of Oklahoma. That guy's a beast.
He is.
He is a pure guard. He's not quite Quinn Nelson-esque, though. He would be a late first-round guy more. So if the Lions
don't see
us trade back,
doing
that
in the first round. Do you see that? First round?
No.
Offensive line? I don't see that.
I don't unless we trade back.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, I have no problem with them taking an offensive lineman if they truly believe it because I'm still all for building the trenches every year. They need to keep keep doing it, baby.
Oh yeah,
but
yeah, but UJ, what if Josh Allen and Devin White were on the board and then
we traded? Well, here's the thing: with the moves they've made now, all we're really lacking is maybe a number two corner, and man, Devin White would look so good in a Lion uniform, man. Oh, flying around the field. This defense would be
that linebacking core would be sick.
We still need another edge rusher, though, too, I think.
Yeah.
What about Kennard?
But first of all, I just want to point this out. Just listen for a moment just how sweet it sounds. Trey Flowers, Snacks Harrison, A'shaun Robinson, Deshaun Hand. Oh. What a defensive line we've built up the last couple of years.
Yeah, really.
Oh yeah, and that
you didn't even mention Julian Aquara.
Well, he's a rotational Romeo guy. Aquara. I mean, he's not a guy that strikes fear.
He put up the same amount of sacks as Trey Flowers.
He's still rotational though, Jay.
Yeah,
I don't think he's considered a starter.
And I didn't watch Romeo Aquara and say like, "Wow, that guy's just taking over game." That guy's more just hustling after a good coverage sack.
Yeah.
That's what I get out of him.
Right.
He's a great hustle guy. He's going to give you 100% effort. He's a total he's bought into the system. That's why he got extended.
He's strong at the point of attack and holds the edge, and he can get after the passer.
But as far as like getting excited about top names and like a fearful defensive line. Those are the names that really stick out to me. Versatile guys.
Quinnen Williams was on the board?
That would be insane. You had take to him. Take him in a heartbeat.
Take him.
Yeah, I think he would have to. I doubt he will be, but I have seen a couple mocks where he's fallen that far. But I doubt it, but I would love
it. I doubt it, too. Oh, yeah. Well, look, A'shaun comes up. This kid's contract comes up next year. So if we take a guy like that, he goes off and gets big money. We still got these guys coming up. I mean, this is what I mean. We got to keep drafting these guys,
Yeah. As we learned from the past, when we let Sue go, you can't have too many of those guys. Yeah.
No, you can't. No way. Truly can't.
I will be really curious to see if the Lions pick up another safety here, or if they don't, if they really believe in Tracy Walker being able to step up and start next year. He definitely showed flashes of it last year.
I think they do like him, but we'll probably get another guy.
Yeah.
We got to get at least
one. I mean, the remaining top safeties right now that are probably out of our price range now is Adrian Amos and HaHa Clinton Dix.
What's so funny about that?
But
I'm here all week, folks. Andrew Sadejo and George Aloka just got released by the Vikings. Those could maybe be two cheaper options the Lions look at here as free agency continues on. Otherwise, and Jimmy Ward. I forgot about him as well. Former Northern Illinois guy as well. He's 28 years old. He's also on the free agent market. He might be a cheap option. I always personally like them. But I mean, there's a bunch of cheap safety options. I can't believe how much money got thrown around at safety, especially to the Landon Collins deal that we mentioned before, which is insane.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody else is even offering close to that. I'm guessing. But, I mean, Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, did get 3 years, $42 million, so he got $14 million a year.
Unreal.
That's a healthy chunk of change.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
I mean, some big contracts.
Yeah, I can't believe some of this money these guys are getting. It's incredible.
Or do the Lions believe Kenny Wiggins can step up and be their starting right guard?
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't.
What about Crosby?
I really thought they were going to put him at guard, but they didn't even bother putting him in there at any point in practice last year.
That was interesting.
I thought they drafted him to be more of this versatile guy, and maybe they'll try him out this year. Is TJ Lang, I don't think he said he's going to retire yet.
No, he's a free agent now. He isn't determined yet. But
He was praising all the Lions free agency moves today. He's a Lions fan at heart, I feel.
I wouldn't mind retaining him with a restructured contract.
Well, I think if they were, they would have done that by now. So
you don't know. Right. There's time.
Yeah. Did you guys saw the statement, right, when he left?
Yeah.
And which is interesting because when we're talking about the guys they're bringing in and the culture they're trying to create, and he kind of talked about that and how fans should believe in this because, I mean, he sounded sincere.
Yeah,
and
he did.
That they have a plan and, you know, they're trying to build a championship and, like, stick with the team and, you know, that he's still sticking with the team. You know, he believes in it. So,
yeah.
I'm excited with this, with these, what they have coming in with these free agent moves, and we have a draft ahead of us. It's going to be an exciting season next year with a lot of new people in place.
Without a doubt.
Devin White.
Yeah.
Yep.
God.
I know.
You're all going to bug, you bugged the hell out of me with saying his name.
I'm telling you, though.
You know, I couldn't tell, Big Z. I couldn't tell.
But I'm just not as completely sold on him still. I think he's a really good player, and he's definitely my prediction right now for the Lions to draft. Or at least he's definitely up in the top three. I just I can't wrap my head completely around it. I think the Lions still might go D-line, and Brian Burns, I think, might be the one that's.
You think Brian Burns?
I do. I think that's who they're going to lean toward just because he's so versatile.
Yeah. Well, that wouldn't be bad either. That wouldn't be bad either.
He had like similar measurables to Jadeveon Clowney at the combine.
I don't know. I just imagine there Devin White with that speed in the middle of the field, man. Him and Jordan Davis. Holy cow! I mean, this defense would be so fast. My God, it's just something to think about.
Yeah. What about Montez Sweat? If he's still there, I mean, because he can. He's kind of versatile, linebacker, DN.
He's freaking crazy athletic.
I'm mixed about that. Just, you know, he's a combine, you know, superstar, but
I don't know. It doesn't always translate. No. I know.
You know.
I mean, he has been – it's not like he just became a combine superstar out of the blue, though. He was always in the conversation, or at least on the peripheral of the conversation for our area of picking.
Yeah,
so, I mean, and then he blew up the combine after that. So, I mean, he's always been, you know, slotted around us for a while. So, I mean.
True.
So, you know, he obviously had something on tape. But, I'm not sure about him either, though. I get the sense that he gets by on his athletic ability and has to be a lot, you know, worked with a lot. But when you run 4.4 at 260.
Yeah. I was watching some of his film, and. And his speed does show on the film when he's chasing a quarterback. He gets pretty fast. So he can cause some havoc in the backfield. But
yeah, and like we said, Matt Patricia really likes to, you know, get these guys that are just full-out effort. And if they can chase down the quarterback, maybe that's – I mean, that's a huge plus.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I just really I want to just go back to Trey Flowers again, just how excited I am. We've been talking about this guy for weeks and weeks. They finally actually get him. I mean, the Lions never get the guy we actually want. So, I mean, it's unbelievable that we actually got him.
You're right.
This guy is, like, the model patriot in every way. Like, he will do whatever he's asked to do on a weekly basis, and he'll do it to the best of, like, anybody's ability. And that's why he's so highly sought after. The guy can just do anything on the field that you ask him to do, at least from a defensive line standpoint.
And I think he has a knack of making a big play when you need one, you know?
Yeah.
We need more guys like that.
Absolutely. That's what Bob Quinn said in his
in
his press conference, that we need more defensive playmakers because the Lions definitely lacked big plays last year on the defensive side of the ball. It's funny. The first play of the year last year, pick six. What a year. And then the defense quickly went downhill for a while there after that.
Yeah.
And we only started finally getting the sync later in the season when, unfortunately, we were virtually out of the playoff picture.
Well, once we got Snacks, things turned around pretty fast for our defense.
That's true. Man, just Snacks and Trey Flowers on the same D-line with an improved – with a healthy Deshaun Hand and a A'shaun Robinson that – just improved wildly last year is just extremely exciting. That's why I think I want one more edge guy, just a completely beastly D line. It just gets me all excited.
You don't think you know?
See, what gets you more excited, that or like that big tight end we got today, Jesse James? What gets you more excited?
I I gotta go D-line, but man, Jesse James is a really exciting one for me. That's why Run Dog, you mentioned T.J. Hockenson. Man, that would be a pretty lethal and very depth, a lot of depth on at the tight end position compared to where we were.
A lot of depth.
You know what?
Depth.
Hey, but with these signings, with these signings we made, I could actually see him picking him now. I mean, it would all of a sudden a position of non-strength or a weak position now becomes a position of strength too.
I think by signing Jesse James, especially because he's so young, 24. I think the Lions definitely don't pick one until at least the third round, personally, and it's a pretty deep tight end draft.
True.
So
yeah,
I don't see them going with Hockenson or Font, the presumptive top two tight ends. I'm looking.
Well, I definitely don't want Font. That's like another Ebron right there.
Yeah, I personally am maybe looking at this guy. His name's Caden Smith. He would be a second-round guy. Or this Jace Sternberger out of Texas A&M, 6'4", 250. Those would be the two names I would look out for later in the second or third round as possible tight end.
Yeah.
But I think the Lions, they got to go offensive line at some point in this draft, I feel, unless they're going to surprise us with just, you know, a cheap veteran option. And hope he works out. Because guard, you can always plug in, I think. That's the easiest one to plug of all the offensive line positions.
Right.
Yeah, because there's going to be guys cut later, you know, that are going to be available. You know, we might pick up somebody late, you know.
No, yeah, I like the drafted one, though. Somewhere in the top three rounds, you know, personally. And I think we need to keep doing that every year. Seriously,
that is the one thing I love about Bob Quinn, though. He values the line so much. It's taken him a while to come around to the defensive line a little bit.
Yeah,
he focused on offensive line first, but now he's focused on the defensive line. And I just really see this thing rounding out, and it's getting me all jittery.
Yeah.
Hey, I need a cigarette, Zach. Have a cigarette.
We definitely need to add a receiver still.
Yeah, we do need one more, at least, receiver.
I want
wise.
Speedster. I like the guy you've been talking about. Andy Isabella.
Andy Isabella. Like, oh, baby.
I want that speed.
Oh, yeah. Andy Isabella will get me really excited. Man, the fact that we got Trey Flowers, I think anything's possible right now.
Zach is so excited.
Hey, Z, that's going to be the title of the podcast this week. Z gets excited.
Yeah. I was pumping my fist at work. I was high-fiving people. It was great. And they don't even know what they were high-fiving me for. So. if they do, they probably would actually retract the high-five, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Just a really exciting day. We haven't had a day like this in free agency with the Lions in a while. I mean, we all got excited when Golden Tate got signed, but I mean, there hasn't been a day like this where the Lions are the headline. They win the day. You know, and as they always say, you know, you win free agency, you win the Super Bowl. So
last time, you know, I remember actually making a big splash in free agency like this was when we got Tulloch and Glover Quinn in the same offseason.
Oh, yeah, Tulloch was a big name at that time, too.
Yeah, so. He was, yeah.
And so was Quinn. Quinn was an up-and-comer, pretty well-established guy anyway.
Yeah.
Lang was a big signing, too, when we got Lang.
And wasn't it Vandenbosch that year, too? Wasn't that, like, Schwartz's first year? But, yeah, I mean, we've had, like, that. I'm just thinking that was the last real big one, and that was a big turnaround time period, too. So maybe this is the...
Yeah,
you know,
and there are still a lot of wide receivers on the open market here, so we might be able to get a good deal on one. We'll have to see. Yeah. Just another notable name: Randall Cobb, Ryan Grant, Cordell Patterson. There's another Patriots. Chris Hogan's still available, another Patriots guy.
Has DeSean Jackson landed somewhere yet?
DeSean Jackson got traded to the Eagles.
Oh, he really traded. That's good.
I mean, he basically forced his way to the Eagles.
Yeah, he did.
Michael Crabtree still available. That's always a reliable guy. Cole Beasley, that's actually who I thought the Lions might go after, but he is still available. Adam Humphries was a guy I was hoping for. That was a guy named on this podcast before. He signed with the Titans, unfortunately, for 4 years, 36, the same deal that Coleman got. But that's okay. You can plug and play a lot more at receiver, I feel, than that special defensive back. Especially defensive back is just so valuable these days.
From your what you're saying about the cap, we wouldn't have been able to afford him anyway. I mean, because we need that money for to sign our class, and we wanted to get Trey Flowers.
Yeah. You know, or
priorities.
You could do the Martin Mayhew way and try to sign as many guys as you can and just backload all these contracts, and then you're screwed later on.
Yeah.
But as we have found out before, that is definitely not a recipe for success usually.
Yeah, no. Comes back to bite you.
No, that's a terrible.
And, I mean, look, the Patriots always let these guys go. They're never in any sort of, you know, cap hell. It's quite remarkable, actually. Do you guys know what round Trey Flowers was drafted in off the top of your head?
Fourth.
Yep, fourth round draft pick. I mean, the typical Patriots success story. So it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Are you excited?
It is it is unbelievable.
I mean, look at just to go back to the Patriots one more time. They drafted Isaiah Wynn in the first round last year to be their starting left tackle. He tears his ACL in practice in the preseason. They trade a 6th round pick. That guy ends up signing the biggest free agent offensive lineman contract in NFL history. So and now they get the 1st round draft pick this year to be their actual starter. It's there's a reason that team wins every year.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
It's
called cheating.
It's quite unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't mind being called the Midwest Patriots, quite honestly. Why not model yourself after the model franchise?
As long as we don't fall by the wayside of all these other coaches that left there and tried to copy the Patriots way.
As long as our owner isn't visiting any Asian massage parlors in Florida.
Yeah. No respect.
Wow. Oh, God.
No respect at all.
Well, I'm glad we could get on this podcast today to talk about one of my most excited days in a while being a Lions fan. I mean, outside of, of course, making the playoffs. And, well, we haven't gotten that playoff victory yet, but when they get that'll be my most exciting day. But I'm drinking the Kool-Aid hard right now. This is a fantastic day.
Man, gee, that cigarette's going to be tasting really good. You are. I've never seen you so excited before.
Yeah.
I want the season to start today. The NFL is football is the worst because the offseason is so damn long. But damn, it's so worth it when you get to that Sunday. That's part of why it's so great.
Yeah, and then you
start. I know. How many days left till camp starts? are we doing our countdown?
Yeah. But when we get the draft is going to be fun too. When we get those new guys, then we can get excited about it. New guys
we're
coming
building.
In.
Sorry about.
If you are curious how many days it is to the NFL season, it's September 5th, 2019. That's 178 days away.
All right.
I just love this time of year how it's all so fresh, and now we're going to, draw from the eternal well of optimism and build this team up from the foundation to the best team ever in our minds. And then, the first snap of the game, it's like an interception, and the season just goes down the drain from that point on. And you're just like, God, why do I root for this team? And it's like, But that's not going to happen this year. So,
No. No, we do that every year. We get optimistic and everything. But
it's fun, though.
But I'm telling you, just looking at it realistically, I think that our talent level is so much better than it has been in the past. And I don't know. I know a lot of people don't agree with me, but I think Patricia is a damn good coach, and I think he's going to have this team winning. Once they all start buying into his deal, I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
You heard it here, folks.
And we can't even exclude the fact that if the Lions can come out hot, they're in a playoff race. There's always these teams that fail, need to get rid of a really talented guy midseason. We've seen it more and more the last few years. That can be an extra piece as well, especially a receiver along those lines. Those are usually the type of guys that are available.
True.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, this is a great time here. The combine, then the free agency starts. I mean, I personally love March Madness. Then we have Game of Thrones, and then we got the NFL draft.
Yeah.
Good times. Good times. I'm going to count. That's the only bad part of the year, but, you know. That's why maybe
UJ,
we traded. Yeah,
you were you weren't on the podcast and we were talking about the combine, but as a Patricia guy, what'd you think of Patricia's look? He's got the cap on, he's got the neat trimmed beard, and he had like he looked kind of
trimmed beard, the
stylish,
cap.
You know, and I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, kind of look a little preppy there. I don't know. It's kind of a strange look.
Usually he's wearing but, that hey, garbage bag, and you know,
he got tired of looking like he lived in a van down by the river.
Yeah, I kind of like when he cleans up his act a little bit. I think it would do him well to clean up his act just a tad, you know. Yeah. Just look a little neater out there. Yeah.
I but, mean, as long as it wins,
whatever.
Who cares?
Did you watch the video of their press conference at all, though, over the combine, or at least read some of the comments?
I read some of the comments.
Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia were very confident. They just kind of had a little bit of swagger to them that their plan was coming more into focus, and you can see after today that they clearly did their work to get these signings. I mean, they happened almost immediately today. So,
yeah.
I mean, Flowers had like the market at his feet, and he didn't even wait around at all to make a commitment.
No, nope.
Like, he didn't play the game
because technically we're not supposed to talk to these guys right until the clock hits midnight. I mean,
well,
the
legal tampering period, right?
Legal tampering. Period.
Yeah, they put quotes around it,
but I'm excited, man. I'm telling you. And I'll say right now, I'm all in with the Patricia regime here in Quinn. I think we're going to see some great things, man. Great things.
All right. And then it all just comes back to Stafford, though, right? We didn't even mention him in this podcast yet. But
I think we may have to dedicate one just to him coming up here.
I mean,
now he's got his little receiver to throw to, so that'll help. He'll be happier boy this year.
Yeah,
I'm not too worried about Stafford, to be honest with you. He had a down year, but I'm not overly concerned about him at the moment. Yeah.
No, personally, I think having Stafford is one of the pluses going into next year.
Well, having Stafford is always a plus, especially, you know, for the people on this podcast that we truly believe in Stafford. So
yes,
and it will finally come to fruition, and there'll definitely still be offensive additions to be made here going forward. And if there's anything else. You know, a big signing or something like that, we'll definitely hop on this podcast. But just a great day to be alive, boys. Great day to be alive.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. This is Drinking Blue Kool-Aid. Please keep on listening. Please subscribe. Please share. Leave a review. We greatly appreciate it, as always.
Tell your friends. Tell your family.
Yes.
And keep on drinking that Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah, baby. So last but not least, go!
Go!
Lions! Woo! Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain. A Lions victory.
Go.
Go.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.